10 to 1, episode 188.
Films 2024. Welcome to 10 to 1, where the ratio of films we watch without Buster Keaton to films with Buster Keaton, approximately 10 to 1. I'm Brian Kozer.
I'm Melissa Kozer.
And we're here in March 2025 to talk about the films we watched in 2024. And I have to say, I'm not sure that it was a great year for us.
We had a lot of rewatches.
Some good rewatches.
Which was fun.
It was fun. We watched about a film a week. 54. Wow. 54 films was
That's
the total.
Not bad.
And I think I don't have the numbers on how many were rewatches. Looks like maybe about 15.
About
half? No. Yeah, like a third. And I don't think there are too many other things on that. So I'm looking at my Letterboxd in the same way that Goodreads gives like a highs and lows of the year and gives you some nice art. I guess maybe we could, if there are films that we don't talk about along the way, or maybe when we hit them, I'll say what was the most popular on Letterboxd or the most obscure thing we watched on Letterboxd, that type thing. But otherwise, you ready to just jump in?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I went first last time, so I think you get to go first.
Okay.
I think I went first with books. You get to go first with films.
Okay.
What have you got?
Yeah. And books is coming soon. Anyway.
Oh, books. We recorded books.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right. So my number 10 is one of the Buster Keatons that we watched. Yeah. And the only one that we hadn't previously watched. It's Steamboat Bill Jr.
Yeah.
And this is
my number 10.
Fun. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what else is there to say beyond Keaton's just so funny? Just his straight expression, the way he walks, the way he does everything. He's so acrobatic too. Yeah. And his most iconic scene is in this movie where a house falls down and he happens to be standing in the one open window where
it won't get hurt.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. Yep. But he's the one that did it.
That's right.
Started it.
And his is still the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not his best, but very good. And like, it's not the first one I'd give to somebody, but and I still like his shorts, I think, best. Mm-hmm. Some of his shorts, but this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got to this one.
I wouldn't mind purchasing
that's a good idea.
A bunch of Buster Keatons, and in fact, like, those would make good Christmas gifts for family members too, honestly.
Mm. Like, yeah.
You can't go wrong with Keaton.
Yeah, is there like a, there's gotta be like a Criterion collection of Buster Keaton shorts or something. We should look into that.
Yeah.
All right. That was our number 10. You ready for number 9? Are we gonna continue the crossover?
We'll see. My number 9 is The Secret of Kells. Oh.
We are on fire.
All right.
Yeah. So tell us about how this one make it to 9 for you.
Well, it's very unique. It's animated movie, and it's an interesting art style. It's very, of course, all animated movies are hand-drawn. I guess some are computer-drawn, but this one's very, like, very, very hand-drawn. More like the way a kid would draw in a lot of ways. Mm. But it's not bad either. And it's about the, ultimately, the preservation of the Bible,
right.
And how there's these raiders. Is it the Vikings? They're,
I think so,
pillaging the land, and there's this monastery that is working to preserve the Bible and also illustrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the importance of this. And it's sort of a bit of a meandering plot.
Mm.
And it kind of, yeah, it follows this young boy as he's going out to find the ingredients to make this certain color of ink for the illustrators. And then he ends up finding this forest sprite, and he goes into this old temple to this old dark god, and he ends up having to face his fears and face the dark god. And then, or was it all just a dream after all? And but it's good. It's very surprising, and it's very unique. And it's in a good way. I think everybody would enjoy this.
Yeah, I think the style is supposed to be based on the historical Book of Kells, which is an illuminated Bible that was really illuminated at an Irish monastery in the Middle Ages. And good straightforward fairy tale type story with a striking art style. It's a winner. Enjoyed this one with the girls. So okay. That's our number 9.
Yeah.
Now, can we continue any further? That 2 in a row to start. I'm pretty sure we've never done that before. So.
Well, we'll see. My number 8 is A Fish Called Wanda. I guess that's not your
I might have forgotten that we watched this one this year. Aww. Let me look and see if maybe this one should be on my list.
Oh, this,
you keep going.
This one's so good. Yeah, so I was just talking about this with you the other day.
Yeah.
And so this has I can't remember
Cleese.
His name. Yeah. John Cleese of Monty Python fame.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so funny in this. He plays and I don't have the write up before me on the plot, but I'm going off of memory. But he plays like this sort of straight judge, has been married for a while, and he's
straight laced.
Yeah, and
middle age.
These 4 thieves come to Britain to steal some kind of jewels.
3, sir.
Three. Okay, I thought there was 4. There's 3, and then there's a 4th guy who. Anyway, they're all conniving against each other and cutting each other out, but, you know, lying about it.
Mm.
And this is a comedy, and it's just so funny. It does not take itself seriously. There's some super great moments that are just comedy gold. There is a nudity scene that does not show any nudity, but it's one of the funniest nudity scenes. And that's what brought it up the other day. That is just whoever had the idea to film it this way was brilliant. just when you kind of think you know what to expect of the movie, it keeps on taking you by surprise. So anyway, a lot of fun. A Fish Called Wanda.
I don't know if I realized you enjoyed this one so much. I think if you had asked me, I would have said you were so on this one. Is this one that you enjoyed more once you had the whole story, do you think?
I think so. Okay. Once I had
that's fair.
Like, sometimes I want to know how does the film view itself, so I know how to view it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes there's films that are trying to be really serious, but they're just poorly done, and so you're like, well, I can't take you seriously, you know, because they just didn't do a good job with you. Whereas if I know that, But see, this one's not taking itself seriously, no, but it's done in a really it's done really well. So it knows it's not supposed to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So once I know how to view it, then I can enjoy it better.
Interesting. Gotcha. Well, I also enjoyed that one. It's not on my list. And I think at the time I probably laughed more than you while we were watching it. And I don't remember seeing Kevin Kline in anything else. And I thought he was definitely a standout in this. So yeah, Fish Called Wanda, very funny. But my number 8 is They Live.
I thought about that one.
Which is another John Carpenter. We got another John Carpenter mm-hmm. in. So it's not as good as The Thing. It's not as good as Big Trouble in Little China.
I'll disagree with you on that one.
We'll have to say what we think about Escape from New York next year, because we watched that here in the last couple months. So They Live is a number 3 for me right now for John Carpenter. But those other two movies are favorites. So that's no slam here. I thought, I don't know. It's slow and kind of goofy a little bit sometimes. Like the climactic action set piece is basically a fist fight in an alleyway
with a pro wrestler.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's got Rowdy Roddy Piper as the main character. So, you can't go too wrong there.
One of the funniest parts of that is that, like, every time you think, okay, now he's trounced him and they're just done. Nope. They go at it some more.
Yeah. It's like a 5-minute.
Yeah.
It's really long. And, no, but I think, yeah, that's kind of, so the plot being that, like the aliens have infiltrated, politics and Hollywood and corporate America, and that you have these two guys slugging each other instead of, like, that's what they want, is for us to fight each other. Instead, we should band together and fight the man. I think that's why it's mm-hmm. It just ends up going on that long. But no, I enjoyed They Live, number 8 for me.
Yeah, it was all right.
So on to 7s.
Okay, my number 7 is Emma, the 1996 version with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yep.
And the other characters.
And the other characters.
Yeah. She's the only one that I remember.
Who else is in that?
Ewan McGregor is in there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, this is just so fun. I always enjoy when you've got, you know, a classic book that's done really well, filmed well. Mm-hmm. And this is one of them. If you enjoyed Emma, and I was all right on the book, but I really loved this movie. It's very fun, very enjoyable to just you know, curl up on when you just need something lighthearted. This is great.
I I really like the book. I think you would enjoy the book more on a reread. I think you didn't know what to do with the character Emma and expected her to be Lizzie Bennett, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a common
she kept on interfering in people's business. I was like, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get that. But
like Paltrow infuses the character of Emma with such charm that even when you're like, stop it, at the same time, you're like, oh, but I like her all the same, you know?
Yeah. I feel that way about Book Emma too. I really liked this one, but it was a rewatch for me. I'd seen this in high school.
Oh, okay.
So it's not going to be on the list, but it probably would be if it were a first time watch. I did also very much enjoy that one. So Emma was your number 7. My number 7 is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
Which, your surprised sound makes me maybe be wrong, but I expected this one to be on your list. I know at the time you liked it, and I did like it too. It is a really good film. It was hard for me not to compare it to the book, and I just really like the book so much. And there are things that I wish they had been able to do in the film that they weren't able to. It's just inevitable. And so I think I would have to rewatch this one to maybe be completely fair judging it. And so maybe this one's even a little low. I'm not sure. But, you know, great film. Great performances all around. Of course, Jack Nicholson is always great. But, oh, man, I can picture faces, but I'm blanking on names. Who plays Wormtongue in the Lord of the Rings movies? Brad Dourif. Brad Dourif is a great Billy Babbitt. Who is the dad in Matilda from the 90s? It's Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito is very good in this. and others. A lot of great character actors show up in this one for a story of a character that gets instituted, and what happens with the other inmates in the asylum when he starts causing trouble. So
yeah, that was
a good one. Highly recommend One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and you've got to get to that book.
I know,
it's a short, pretty short book.
I know, I have so many books that I've just got to get to,
and that's why I can't push too hard on any books, because it's March, halfway through March, and I've few books only this year.
I haven't even finished one.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle of a couple long things at least. But all right, so what are we on? Sixes? Your six?
My number 6 is a terrific movie called The Lady Killers from 1955, starring Alec Guinness and Peter Sellers and some others that I didn't recognize, but boy, is this such a funny movie. And it's 4 men. They're looking for a quiet, unnoticed place where they can hole up and escape to after they pull their heist. And a couple of heist movies this past year, I guess. This one and A Fish Called Wanda. And so they select this quiet, charming old lady who thinks the best of everybody. And she rents out her flat to the 4 lodgers, who she thinks are just musicians, and they're gathering together to play music upstairs.
Yeah.
And they even make her part of the heist. She goes and picks up the stolen jewels or stolen money, the luggage, because the...
Yeah. Well, let's not give away the whole plot.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
And then they realize she's a witness. We've got to kill her. We can't let her go, but they all feel a little bad, you know, but these are hardened killers after all. And it's just how it all goes awry. It's the perfect scheme until Mrs. Wilberforce gets involved, and it's so good. And it's believable too. It's such a character study. Great movie. Highly recommend it.
I think believable might be stretching the point slightly.
Aww.
But this is a comedy, a dark comedy. So I'm not too worried about if it's believable or not. It is very funny. Good Alec Guinness. Best Alec Guinness comedy? Is that...
How many Alec Guinness comedies have we seen?
Kind Hearts and Coronets.
That's true.
Where he plays a whole bunch of characters.
That was fun.
Yeah, nothing else coming to mind. So yeah, best Alec Guinness comedy. You heard it here. This is the original that you're referring to. There's a remake, a Coen Brothers Coen Brothers did a remake, so we'll have to
see
that. I'm at looking some point. Forward to got that. Panned, but you know, it'll be fun to see Tom Hanks doing a southern accent in this role. So this is an honorable mention for me. Very good. All right, so on to my six, and it is the only film that we saw from this past year, and the only film we saw in the theater. It's Dune Part 2.
Oh, I would have thought this would be higher for you.
Yeah, this is again a case where it's just impossible for me to separate the book from the film and not, while I'm watching the film, think about the book.
Mm.
And that's not a bad thing. I don't think it suffers from that or anything. I really, really like it. But it is hard to, I think it was sometimes hard for me to just watch it as a story and not be one step back thinking about, if you know what I mean, like thinking about, okay, they chose to tell the story in this way instead of just, you know, taking the story in, you know what I mean? So I think I would have to see this one again to, I want to see it again.
Well, I'm totally down for that if you want to do that this year.
Well, when part three comes out,
okay,
then we'll have to rewatch. Maybe we do part one and part two rewatches. So I was Denis Villeneuve still has not made a bad movie. What a career. That's my number, what did we say, six?
Yes,
that's my number six. Dune Part Two. Part deux for Denis.
All right, my number five is, I think you're going to be proud of me that I have this on my list.
Okay.
And so high up is M.
Oh.
It's a 1931 German mystery thriller.
Yeah.
And this one is, boy, is it interesting.
Mm.
It's about, there is a serial killer who targets children, and children keep disappearing off the streets of Germany, and they can't figure out who it is. And so it's like this, it completely affects this entire city, and it's the exploration of what that does to people. And it's so interesting. And of course, as parents too, like very, very invested in this.
Sure.
And then it gets into at the end of like, do we have the right to judge people? And is the criminal system, the judicial system, adequate to deal with certain types of crimes, or do those fall outside the jurisdiction?
Yeah.
It's so fascinating. There's so much to think about when you're watching this movie. And it's definitely one of the best movies that we watched last year. I've got four movies that I ranked higher. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily better. They probably aren't, some of them. But, you know,
it's a subjective list.
I'm the one that goes based off of how happy I was after watching it.
And boy, were you happy after that 1931 German expression.
I did really enjoy this movie. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
My number five, M.
All right. All righty. On to the top half of the list for me, and five for me is a movie from 2 years ago, and it was, it is Christopher Nolan's latest film, Oppenheimer.
And, yeah, this one's not on my list.
Okay, that's fine. I thought it was great. I think we both didn't really care for Tenet so much. And so it was, it was great for, you know, the return to form, so to speak, and great diving into one of the most interesting and underrated is not quite the right term, but I think before the film came out, somewhat forgotten. I don't think he got more than a sentence in my high school history book. You know, I could have told you that he quoted the Bhagavad. It's a Hindu sacred text, Bhagavad Gita. I don't know. I'll have to look that up later. But when he says, I'm become death, destroyer of worlds.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's famous, him quoting that. And I knew he was, of course, with Project Manhattan, or led Project Manhattan. Other than that, I couldn't have told you anything about him. So getting a look at, you know, a fictionalized look at this character. And always the way that Christopher Nolan tells stories, out of order, and the way that he chooses to do that is always interesting and maybe uniquely fitting for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that just made it difficult for me to watch it.
Yeah.
And know what it was going on. I don't know.
I think that can be true.
I never enjoy feeling like I'm too dumb to understand the movie.
I guess, yeah, I don't know if it's having seen so many of Christopher Nolan's. No, that's probably not it, because I did have a hard time following Tenet. So I don't know. I didn't think it was that hard to follow, but I knew slightly more of the history, I think. Or was able to follow maybe some of the historical stuff more. So maybe that helped.
Maybe so.
All right. Well, excited to see his Odyssey. That's his next. He's doing an adaptation of the Odyssey.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Could be great.
That one, at least I will know. I've already read the Odyssey, and so that one I already know that it starts in media res, and then
that's right
flips back, so I'll be on
flashbacks
on the same
built
page
in.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to yeah. I wonder if we'll get any Iliad, any Trojan War flashbacks while we're there.
Maybe,
I don't know. All right,
when is that supposed to air?
No, I they haven't started filming.
Oh,
so
okay, don't get your hopes
up. I don't know.
Up
next year, 2027, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
He takes his time.
Yeah. Well, and that's good.
That is good. All right. On to your number four.
All right. My number four is An Ideal Husband, the 1969 BBC version.
Yeah.
Part of their Play of the Month series. And I was not familiar with this play, but it's so funny. Mm. And the cast members of this are just really good, really suited to their roles.
Yeah.
And it's, for everybody else that didn't know anything about this plot, it's about this guy who he's settled in government. He's got a perfect life. His wife loves him. And she loves him because he is perfect. because he is blameless, and he continues to be blameless. And as a government official, we all know every politician is corrupt. But her husband, he never cheated. He never did took any bribes or did anything backhanded behind closed doors to get to where he is. Except that a lady arrives in town with proof that he did, and she threatens to expose him if he does not do something you know, pull some strings in government that she wants done. And it's about how all of this unravels, and it's really good, really funny.
So do you think it's a comedy or a drama?
It's both.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the problem. The
it's a dramedy.
No, it's not a problem with you. It's the only, having read the play and then seen this, I did also enjoy it. I did also enjoy watching it. But Jeremy Brett, who plays Lord Goring, he's the only one that realizes it's a comedy, it seems like.
Oh.
And like, he's very funny.
He is hilarious.
And everyone else plays it completely straight, almost. There's some other funny parts.
But I think that kind of works to its advantage, the fact that he's...
Maybe. I wish the others had maybe... I don't know.
Loosened up a little?
Maybe, yeah, a little bit. And they also changed the ending a little bit, which...
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, you're not going to know if you don't...
Yeah.
Don't read the play, but
I think the fact that he at least,
it was good, I also enjoyed it,
keeping his sense of humor throughout is it completely shows how the others are being so overly dramatic and taking themselves too seriously, which then makes the whole thing funnier, I thought.
All right,
so that's my number three, An Ideal Husband. No, my number four.
Number four, wow. Okay, well, my number four is also a comedy. Do I think this is going to be higher on your list? I don't think so. I think we might have a similar top three, but I don't think this one's going to be on there. So I think I like this one a lot more than you did. It's The Producers.
Starring, I think you did, yeah. But I considered it for this list.
Starring Gene Wilder and who's his co-star? Zero Mostel, I think is his name. This, I mean, the Mel Brooks, we both either really enjoy or we can't finish. is about our experience. So like, we couldn't finish Blazing Saddles, but we both loved Young Frankenstein. I thought The Producers was even better than Young Frankenstein. So
I'd have
irreverent.
To go back and rewatch.
So hilarious.
Young Frankenstein. But yes, this one is very funny.
Like, even the fake musical, the play within the
Hitler and
the story
springtime.
Within the story. Yeah. Springtime for Hitler. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and of course that it's Mel Brooks, who's Jewish. That's like, obviously this is the, so the plot is there's a producer, and he decides, or he realizes he could make more money by producing a flop play. So they're purposefully like hiring bad actors and having a bad script. Everything's as bad as they can make it. And so, yeah, of course, certainly for Mel Brooks, living through as a Jewish guy who lived through World War II. Obviously, Springtime for Hitler is going to be the worst possible thing you could come up with. Very, very, very funny. And I thought it the whole way through. It wasn't uneven. It never got into like Mel Brooks, like, I don't know, like characters, like what is it that he does sometimes where the characters kind of like laugh or like sigh at the camera, kind of like winky wink. This is funny, which is when I think he's less funny. I don't know. This one all the way through, I really worked.
Yeah,
and Gene Wilder is so charming.
Amazing.
Yeah,
carrying his little baby blanket around with him, and
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I forget the name of the other guy that he's paired with.
Yeah.
But
it is Zero Mostel.
Okay. He is hilarious. It starts out, he's trying to make ends meet by coddling all these old women.
Yeah.
And I still quote this all the time to you. I'll come up for a hug and I'll say, hold me, love me.
Right.
It's so funny.
So, yeah, that's my number four.
Well, it's a solid pick. Didn't make my list, but yeah.
Yeah.
You guys should check this one out.
All right. Top three. And I can't imagine that we don't have a very similar top three at this point.
Do you want to guess what my number three is?
Double Indemnity.
Oh, crap. Oh, no.
No.
For some reason, I thought we'd already watched that one. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I am going to have to retroactively take Steamboat Bill Jr. off the list, or Secret of Kells, one of the two, and put Double Indemnity on, because that is such a good movie.
That was very good.
That's my 9 or 10.
Why don't you go ahead and... Okay, you want to put that at...
Yeah.
9 and slide Steamboat Bill off?
Yeah.
Because that was your 10. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well,
Fred Murphy? Fred Murray?
Fred
McMurray. So and, good in this. I'd never seen him in a non-goofy dad.
The Apartment.
That's true.
But yes.
But even still, it's a comedy still. This one's
true.
This one's just
He's
dark.
Not
this
comedic
one's about how to kill this lady's husband. And it's so good.
Yeah. And with Barbara Stanwyck.
Yep.
Also great. Edward G. Robinson. Kind of playing against type. This is my number three. This is why I guessed it.
Yeah.
As you might have guessed.
Oh man, this one's got to be on my list.
Okay. So I adjusted your list. What's your real number three, though?
Okay. So you don't want to guess that one, I guess.
Well, I will. I already made a guess and I was wrong, so I'll let you.
Well, my number three is The Red Shoes.
Oh yes.
And I will cry foul if this is not on your list.
We shall see.
This is a 1948 British drama, and it's about ballet. A girl who wants to be a ballerina, and ultimately the guy who hires her thinks she's absolutely amazing, sees her potential, but he is so controlling that he makes her choose between her career and between love, because he thinks if she that love is a distraction, it is getting in the way of her truly unlocking her potential.
Sure.
And it's so good. It's got some weird, surreal, dreamlike scenes in there where there's one part where you're just watching this whole ballet that was written within the movie. And
instead of just showing the ballet.
Yeah. You enter the world of the ballet too, of the story. And it's so engrossing.
Mm.
I don't think either of us expected to be so enthralled with this movie, but it's good. It's not just the tension and the drama, but there's something about it, and maybe you can put it in words better, about how it just pulls you in and it's into a whole nother world.
Mm.
So that's my number three, The Red Shoes.
All right, well, we shall see if that one makes my list. I already gave my number three. It was Double Indemnity.
Yeah.
So we're on to your number two. What could your number two be? I'm guessing it's something that's not on my list because it was a rewatch for me.
Nope, it's Dune Part 2.
Oh, Dune Part 2.
Yeah, this was such a good movie. Maybe it'll not be as great on rewatch, but like part of it was the whole experience of it is we got out on a date and we got to see it on the really big screen.
Yeah.
And it was just It was right before Verity was born. And it was a last minute thing that we threw together. We found a babysitter and just all of it together. Plus, it's just a really good movie, but it all combined to make this wonderful experience. Very needed. And thoroughly enjoyed it. There were a few, I think there was one thing at the end that I was like, oh, well, I think I would have changed that. I wish it had followed the book more. But everything else I was totally on board with.
It is definitely interesting that his plan all along was to have a part three and assume it will follow the second book, Dune Messiah, pretty closely. So
I'm good with that.
Yep. Excited to see him finish it. All right.
And I'm really glad that we were able to get to part two so that everybody is now fully on board with there being a part three.
That's right. All right, my number two, you want to guess? It's already been on your list.
The Red Shoes? The Secret of Kells?
I know that was that was my number nine. Because remember...
It's M.
It is M.
Yeah.
Hey, I just realized you slotting Double Indemnity messes up our first two being crossovers.
Oh, well.
What a shame.
Oops.
Sorry. Yeah, M was really good for I don't know. We keep being surprised, I think, by these like 1930s films that really hold up. And, you know, if you don't tie yourself to cutting edge technology that's going to look cheesy 5 years later.
Something better comes along, yeah.
If you're actually, you know, just tell a really good story and use what you've got. And these universal. Universal questions and things to sink your teeth into. Very good. Peter Lorre is very, very good.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything about the plot except to say that the film seems to want you to sympathize with the villain at the end and didn't quite get me there. But I don't know that's not a problem with the film or is this Fritz Lang that made this? This is not a dig at him at all. I think it's just, Fritz Lang. I don't know. I never quite could feel.
Right.
Sorry for the guy who's done. Who we've spent
I didn't feel
the rest of the film.
But yeah, I didn't feel bad for him, but I do think it is still something that you must consider.
And, I agree. Completely. That's a great way to put it.
And I wanted to mention too, like earlier in the movie, you've got like the whole city has been looking for this guy and they're all working together in
all
different
the criminals.
Ways. Yes. Yeah. And the police officers are after him. And it's a question of if they are able to catch him, who's going to find him first?
Great. Is it the criminals or the end.
And then, so they're breaking into this building, in the dead of night, but trying to do it quietly so that the authorities don't get alerted and come arrest all the criminals. It's so, so good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yep. It's my number two. I liked it at least as much as you did.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great movie.
We're in agreement and we're ready for number one.
Probably should have moved it higher, but oh well.
Maybe so. Four is pretty high.
Yeah.
Five is pretty high. Yeah. What
my
is your?
My number one is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow.
What a great movie. I was so blown away.
Yeah.
I thought this was just going to be another one of those weird movies that I wasn't really going to enjoy. And you cannot predict this movie. Now, I have not read the book.
Yeah.
So that, I'm sure, plays into, but I'm so, so excited to read the book when I do get around to it. And I would never have picked up this book if it had not been for you getting me to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I would never have sought out the movie either. But it's so, so good. And it's the story of this bad man that you would not want to associate with. But boy, are you cheering for him in this asylum.
Yeah.
And he's a bad guy, but boy, is he's such a protagonist, such a hero to these inmates.
Well, it's an upside-down world.
Yes.
Where the people that are supposed to be healing and protecting are not. So you need a... You don't need a goody two-shoes in that situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You need somebody who's good at breaking the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'm really glad you like this
one. Oh, yeah. I love this one. I
did too.
I definitely want to rewatch it.
I didn't mean to. I mean, it's on my list. It's hot. Yeah. It is a great movie. I didn't mean to diminish it at all. Well, I'm glad that's your number one. My number one was also on your list, The Red Shoes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this one first from beginning to end is, I think maybe what sets it higher is, or not what sets it higher, but what really puts it over the top is, on top of being a great story, you know, beautifully shot, the
beautiful music.
So the music, yeah. So if you're going to make a film about music, like, it needs to be really good music. If you're going to have a film about ballet, the ballet needs to be good.
Yes.
And then absolutely the right choice of, you can't just fit. I mean, you could, and it could be really good. Just filming a ballet and that be your story, but the choice to turn it into this dreamlike, where she starts doing things that, you know, couldn't be done on stage or special effects, and it makes you feel like you've watched a ballet,
because that's what ballet is supposed to do on the stage. It's supposed to
transport you.
Yeah
definitely. So no, this is one.
This one's a rewatch for
sure.
This
one's a rewatch. This is one to push on family members, and The Red Shoes. That's a winner.
Yeah, this was we had some really solid movies.
Yep. All right. Well, let's. You want to do any quick honorable mentions?
There was They Live and The Producers.
Yep.
And then Dead of Night, which I'm struggling to remember what it was about. I looked up.
I don't remember
give
this.
Give me a second.
Dead of Night.
I know what this one is. I just am.
Oh, yes. It was like a.
Oh, yeah.
Twilight
this one.
Zone compilation.
Yeah. Kinda. So you have this guy. Yeah. He stops at this quiet country house, and some other people end up there too. And it's him. He starts off with, I've got this bad feeling, like I need to leave here. And they're all like, no, it's fine. You just hang out here. And they're all sharing strange stories. And it's good how they all the stories connect.
Yep, that one was good. I liked Whisper of the Heart, which was a rewatch for you, Studio Ghibli. I liked the Tristram Shandy adaptation, A Cock and Bull Story. This one maybe should have been on my list. I think if I'm trying to be objective, it's not the 10 favorites, but... Like, it was fun to spur of the moment put it on. We had trouble, like, I wrote, it's like the longest Letterboxd review I've written. You can go read it, but it's, you know, I kept trying to get it started. It wouldn't start. We finally get it started, and like it involved like factories resetting the TV, I think. And then, yeah, I'm just like skimming through my review. There's like the cat was playing with a giant cockroach during, so we had to like stop for you to tell me the story, your cockroach story, and.
The experience as we watched the movie too was just
so then the film itself actually surprisingly good adaptation of an unadaptable story. If you like Tristram Shandy, you definitely have to watch it. If you're never going to read Tristram Shandy but you like period pieces and you're good with a little bit of British, language and off-color humor.
I mean, there are some funny parts.
Right. I mean, there's the part where he's hanging upside down in the prosthetic womb to film the
so messed up
the scene before his birth.
There's the circumcision.
All the best bits from the book are in there for sure. And some very funny bits that they can do because it's a story about someone making a movie about Tristram Shandy. And so, you know, that, and it's Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon too. So, you know,
they're pretty great together.
Yeah, they're a good pair.
One of these days we will finish the trip.
Maybe someday we'll finish the trip. Rewatches real quick so Stalag 17 was a rewatch for me. Very good. Was that a rewatch for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd seen it before.
I didn't remember if I'd shown you that one. Mary Poppins, still great. Ratatouille, I think I like better even than previously. Fantastic Mr. Fox. Yeah. Still fantastic. And this one's way better than the book. Big improvement over the book. Hard Day's Night didn't get an honorable mention even.
Aw. It's fun.
Ah. What a great film.
Just
if we were including rewatches, this would be top five, I think. Really like Hard Day's Night. Seeing the Beatles run around and do Marx Brothers.
I like their grandpa.
Yes. Robin Hood, the Disney animated Robin Hood.
That one did not hold up as much for me anymore.
Oh, man. I was watching that one and thinking, we really need more of this, like, 70s folk song medieval roughly animated the Terry Thomas as Hiss and Peter Ustinov as Prince John, like just as two standouts in a very well voice acted film. I don't know, this one's better for me than ever. I think the Blues Brothers,
I wish I had gotten to watch the Blues Brothers with you and your dad again. Like, I got to watch it that first time, and that was...
Yeah.
That I did not expect to like that movie.
Yeah.
And watching it with you guys was the perfect way to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Getting to watch this at Christmas with my dad 2 years in a row, that was pretty great.
Good tradition.
All right. Well, unless there's any others, I'm just skimming through. The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, solid, but a great ending.
Oh, like, yeah, like that's
good,
right.
Just like, oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Action.
With Walter Matthau.
With Walter Matthau, yeah. but the ending, pretty perfect.
And you called it, and yep, it was...
I did call it, but
that is one of the most perfect endings in a movie.
Sabrina, what's your one-sentence take on Sabrina, the Audrey Hepburn, Humphrey Bogart, William Holden. It's Billy it's Wilder,
fun.
But...
Yeah, it's funny. It's, you got... Humphrey Bogart is... a lot of his movies are comedies, and
this not so many.
Well, most of the ones I've seen then.
That's,
Yeah.
Just like Jim Carrey's a serious actor.
Yeah.
Truman Show, Majestic, Eternal
Sunshine.
All
we remember him for is The Grinch and Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, well, he actually has a those are his normal movies. That was the joke.
Okay.
Dumb comedies was, at least for most of his career.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Was his thing. But you think of him as a serious actor because didn't see the dumb comedies. The Great Race, did that one hold up?
That one did hold up.
I don't think that one held up.
Aww.
It was fun enough, but I don't think I need to see that one again.
Okay.
The Big Short. Well, let's go to credits and we'll come back at the end to films we did not finish. Let's see. Lost in Translation.
What was that one?
That's Scarlett Johansson in Japan with Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that one's good. That one was very interesting.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I wouldn't rewatch it.
I always liked Bill Murray. I think I wanted a little bit. I don't know. It's what I expected. Still,
I'm with you. I did want a little something more. I'm not sure what.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. All right. Well, then let's run to the wrap up. You can go to our website, tto.coaster.us/188. You can see links to our accounts on Letterboxd, and you can see our reviews of any of these. I think we've probably covered all of them, but those are linked there. And you can follow us on Letterboxd. It's a free app to track the films that you're watching and see what your friends are watching. So if you want to add us to your friend list on Letterboxd, you can see what Melissa's watching, because I will be logging it. Melissa actually does have an account, but
I've just pretty much given up on it.
I think that's perfectly fine. Check us out there. Check out our show notes and come back next time. We'll be doing our favorite television shows of all time, updated for the first time since the year 2020. You won't want to miss what our new favorite television shows we've watched. At least two shows. Our lists could be potentially different from 5 years ago.
You're selling it so well. So
come back for that. Until then, I'm Brian Kozer.
I'm Melissa Kozer.
Been listening to 10 to 1. All right, we saved least favorite for the end. Oh, I forgot to mention Muppet Treasure Island. I still like Muppet Treasure Island. I like it very slightly less. It's not my second favorite musical anymore, I'm guessing. if we ever do that ranking again. Oh. But I still like Muppet Treasure Island quite a bit, and I can quote the whole thing. So that's fun. Okay, so for least favorites, we did not... we did finish How to Murder Your Wife, but I don't think you were probably a big fan of that one. That's the Jack Lemmon, Jack Lemmon.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't kill his wife, but my Letterboxd review is greatest legal defense ever filmed. Do you remember his argument in court?
Wasn't it like, who of you guys can blame me or whatever?
He thinks he killed his wife, and he says, if you the jury convict me of killing my wife, then we'll be henpecked forever. But if you let me get off innocent, then we can reassert ourselves against which is so completely ridiculous. It's like a Three Stooges version of
your.
Instead of violence, of
your reaction at the end of this movie and the way you practically cheered and threw up your arms in
so ridiculously over the top
was
so ridiculous.
Part of my consternation.
Yeah, not a great film. Do not recommend. Blazing Saddles, we didn't finish. Sherlock Holmes in New York. We did not finish.
Mm-mm. But, you know, that's a good thing. Like, we give you guys permission. If you're in the middle of a bad movie, just don't finish it.
Yeah.
Now, the ones that we recommended, if you get partway through and you're like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it, stick with it. Stick with it. These are good movies.
The Big Short, but we did not finish.
That, yeah. Yeah. Just stop the bad movies.
And
do something better with your time.
I think that's all the ones we did not finish. And then we did finish White Chicks because that was a comedy that our friend, should we name him? Name and shame. Just kidding, Micah. No shame. But
it was an experience.
It was a fun experience.
That we will always remember. I laughed several times.
It was not as good. So we watched that New Year's Eve. Did not enjoy that one as much as the movie we watched New Year's Day. But you'll have to wait till next year to find out what that was.